You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So I'll be talking about the Overseas Investment Act legislative changes. So the Overseas Investment Act regulates foreign direct investment into New Zealand. As the economy recovers from the fallout of the global COVID-19 pandemic, the government is amending this act to protect key assets from falling unnecessarily into foreign ownership. Today I spoke to Associate Minister of Finance David Park about this legislative change and also touched on his response to the criticism regarding the COVID-19 Public Health Response Bill. I began by asking what amendments are being made to the Overseas Investment Act.
Well, at the moment, the overseas purchases of New Zealand businesses are subject to a pretty light-handed screening regime, and we're worried that post-COVID there will be some significant New Zealand companies. They might have large assets, but they might also have high liabilities and therefore low net assets, and they wouldn't be covered by the screening regime. So we're changing the Overseas Investment Act for an interim period to screen all overseas purchases in New Zealand companies.
What qualifies an asset as within national interest?
It has to be more than 25% interest in the company. But beyond that, the dollar threshold is zero. So because we don't want to catch and slow down every investment, we'll have a triage process which quickly makes a decision as to whether to ask for more information in a more detailed sense. And most things would just get a triage. But there will be sometimes, an example is, the tourism sector with the collapse of international tourism has, suffered a huge blow caused by COVID, not by any government policy response. And we would be concerned if some of those cornerstone tourism companies were going to, because of their current straitened circumstance, be required to be sold overseas. And we just want to be able to intervene to protect New Zealand's long-term interests so that we come out of this recovery in a positive way.
As you mentioned, obviously tourism assets are at quite a bit of risk. What other kind of asset classes are at risk?
I think that's the most obvious example, but it's too early to tell. There are export education companies, for example, they've taken a hit as well. Some companies whose supply chains have been disrupted in the manufacturing space may have been adversely affected. Hospitality sector, we are doing a lot of work through the Treasury and through other departments to try and identify where the pressure points are. But not all of these things are visible to us at a central government level, so we want to take a precautionary approach and really protect the interests of the New Zealand economy.
Are you aware of any significant New Zealand assets falling into foreign ownership during this COVID pandemic prior to this legislative change?
No, we're not. But it's early days yet, and of course a lot of those companies have been kept alive through the multi-billion dollar wage subsidy, which will eventually come to an end. And so these companies who have been under pressure will be becoming more apparent over the months to come.
And this was considered a temporary measure. What kind of benchmark needs to be met for this measure to be repealed?
It's going to be reviewed every 90 days. So we'll get a better feel for whether this is necessary or whether we can introduce a dollar threshold at the bottom within 90 days, I would think. So we have retained the right to change that dollar threshold by regulation, just to change that threshold, if you like, as we get better information.
And one final question, just on a slightly different topic, is there's been quite a bit of criticism regarding the legislation allowing police to enter premises without a warrant. What's been your response to this?
Well, there's a bit of a misunderstanding on the part of the Human Rights Commissioner, who said that there had been no Bill of Rights vet and that there was no current power like it. He was actually mistaken on both of those counts, because there was a Bill of Rights vet, and the same power already exists and has been used in the last 7 weeks. In fact, the new form of the power is significantly narrower and also includes more safeguards. So although, we really are still on this precarious journey to knock out COVID-19, and we've done really, really well, but I think most New Zealanders understand that if people flouted the new gathering rules and started to have some big parties that the police do need to be able to go in and break up the gathering. And the reason for that is twofold. One is it increases the rate of infection. And secondly, if we do have an outbreak, you need to have effective track and tracing. So none of us want to go back to the level 3 and 4 restrictions that have so curbed civil liberties. And this is the one of ways that we protect against that outcome.
Do you have any comments you'd like to make regarding anything we've discussed today?
Just also that the police obviously have the discretion as to how they exercise their powers, and they generally use an educative approach. But if people are blatantly flouting the rules, then New Zealanders expect the very small percentage who aren't complying with rules to be forced to do so.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.